I'm Corey Novotny.
I'm Brian Wells.
And you're listening to He's Done It, a mostly sports podcast. Did you tune in to the roast of Tom Brady on Netflix the other night?
I did not. I did not tune into it. I saw clips of it online on Twitter and online, but I did not tune in live.
See, I basically felt like I watched it live because there were so many clips that were tweeted out as it was going on. When I first heard about this, I was like, I don't want to tune in to just like a, you know, Tom Brady and all these other Patriots players. Just like, oh, these guys, like, I hate all of them. I don't want to hear them all sucking each other off. And then I was like, wait a second. A roast is the exact opposite of that. They're just making fun of Brady and Gronk and Belichick. And I was like, okay, wait, this is actually kind of entertaining. So from my perspective, I did think it was funny. I assume even as a Patriots fan, you enjoyed everyone getting back together.
I enjoyed joking around. Not that every single person that was on that roast was great, because there are definitely
some guys that weren't great, bad ones.
I felt like overall most of it was really great, and it was refreshing to see that these guys can roast each other that badly.
Yeah, I'd say, and because it was on Netflix, like, I know in the past Comedy Central has done roasts, but everything was fair game except for the, you know, Robert Kraft massage.
Yeah, jokes. Except the massage thing.
that was the one cut off. Yeah,
I don't mind Brady for feeling that way, because he looks at Robert as a father figure.
Right.
So I kind of understand where he's coming from. But hey, it's a roast. Like, everything should be off limits. But it looks like that was the only thing that was off limits.
Right. Say a lot of Giselle jokes.
All the jokes about his wife. Like, he took that pretty well. So it really looks like the massage, Robert Kraft massage one, was like the only one that was like, all right, like, that one's off limits.
Right. And I think that was just a respectful thing to Kraft at that point, being like, hey, like, it's, he, I heard he
that
wasn't
too.
Even expected
that too.
To be out there.
That too. Maybe he just wanted to back up his guy, and maybe he didn't mind it, but maybe he thought that Robert would.
Right. I think that's probably the big takeaway there. So Nikki Glaser, who, when I first saw, like, the first clip I saw was a whole, like, beating ass while he's eating your ex-wife's ass clip. I was like, holy shit, okay, that's what this roast is all about. That was what got me intrigued. But I, like, saw her, and I was like, I feel like I recognize her, but she might just be an attractive blonde woman on a screen, which I see all the time. But then, like, I figured out her name, and it was, at first, I was like, oh, is this, like, the Bucks owner's daughter? Like, what is, when I heard, saw Glaser, then I realized, no, she is like a professional Comedy Central comedian. I've probably seen her on like a show or commercial at the very least. She has been getting glowing reviews. Tony Hinchnickel or whatever, I don't even remember his name. His roast also, it came down to it. I think that the football players, some of them were better than others, but like most of the comedians, I think you could tell like they were professionals. It was good to have real people who know what they're doing out there. So
she even rattled off some jokes like that weren't that didn't happen on the
right on the
like,
Howard
that were off limits. Yeah. Tom, I love your work that you've done on your face. But seriously, slow down. What is happening with your cheeks?
There are definitely a lot of
you just love deflating things. You got to stop. Like, oh wow, like, that was a pretty good one as well. Like,
yeah, say he admitted to Deflategate, right?
Yeah,
do you see
$20 million? You could have just given. You could have just given me $20 million, and I would have admitted it.
There are
definitely some good ones. Like, not just her, but I like the stuff between Edelman and Belichick, where he's telling him like, Belichick used to tell players, like, I could have seen guys at Foxborough High do that. And it's like, you can't even get a job at Foxborough High, Bill.
he seemed very excited to be able to roast him. I thought it was kind of interesting seeing the dynamic with Belichick there, especially, I mean, having just been fired by the Patriots and, you know, obviously how things have played out the past few years.
It seemed like there was a little bit of
awkwardness between him and Kraft, but I do think he had, like, good feelings for his former players for the most part.
Yeah, I think Belichick this offseason, even though he doesn't have a job, he's still out there doing stuff, where you see him on McAfee and he's doing great breakdowns of players during the draft, and then you see him on this and he can even roast other guys, or he talks about, I'm glad to be on the roast of Tom Brady. But if you want to check out the roast of Bill Belichick on Apple, the 10-part series, you can check that out too. And then he roasted Gronk with the, you know, we have the our slogan, you know, do your job. And he tells Gronk, Gronk, I've seen you on Fox, on TV. Please stop doing your job. That was great too. So Belichick, even though he gets a lot of backlash from the media, especially locally.
Because his press conferences, he's just muttering to himself.
His press conferences are just like, just got to do what's best for the football team.
Right.
Just does that, just grunts into the mic, but he's actually showing personality for after all these years, now that he's not a coach anymore for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in some kind of media job this year. I don't know if next year a team's going to bring him back into coaching, but I can certainly see him doing that for a while.
I enjoyed his breakdowns on McAfee during the draft where, during the draft, it's always this, all the cliches are like, oh, he's got all the arm talent. He can take the top over the defense. He's a five-tool player. Like, they just babble on with the same cliches, but Belichick actually talks about all the negatives with some of these guys. And he hates Drake May, too. When he was breaking down him, it's like, and, you know, comparing himself to Josh Allen. It's like, you hated Josh Allen, too. but anyway, Belichick, I thought, did a great job with the breaking down players during the draft. I feel like he'd be really good in the media for a year. Whatever job he gets.
Right. I think he's going to do that. I think Nick Saban's going to be on College Game Day, so definitely going to have both of those guys probably even more in your face than they have been for, however many years, being that they'll be on TV breaking stuff down. And then I say that Aaron Hernandez, he definitely got roasted.
Oh my God. I saw a poll that said who got the worst of it on the roast, and it gave all these options, but none of them said Aaron Hernandez. I'm like, Hernandez is a clear number one of who got the worst out of anybody.
Right.
It's just a fight for second. Oh, man.
Yeah. I'd say, when you're a double convicted murderer, I think it's easy to kind of overlook some of the things that they were saying. It's like, yeah, you know what? He deserves to take some heat.
Apparently his girlfriend.
His ex-girlfriend. Or whatever she was at the time.
Whatever you want to call her. Yeah, fiance, whatever, at the time. Apparently there are stories that she didn't really did not care for it. Well, your husband also murdered people, so
right. Your daughter, just finding out who her father was, I think is going to be worse than what people say.
Why are you watching the roast? How do you have that on to begin with?
I would say we didn't watch it live. We still saw every clip of it. So.
True. So maybe she found out somehow, even if she wasn't watching it. Right.
Yep. So. Yeah, and
Giselle too.
We said Giselle was not a fan. Yeah,
she's not. You cheated on Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I missed that somehow because everyone just says that's exactly what's happening. I didn't realize that this karate teacher or whatever was happening at the same time. I thought that this was just post divorce. So
it was rumored that when Tom Brady came back for his last year. That's when Giselle is like enough is enough. Like you have to retire or else.
Yeah, right.
And then they got divorced. But it sounds like she was the reason why, or at least how it started, is actually because she was cheating on Tom.
Yeah,
and that's why maybe Tom was kind of sour grapes for that year and the end of the year prior in that playoff game. I don't know. I feel like there's something to that, or he had stuff going on in his personal life, and it wasn't the best mentally. On the field because of it too.
Right. I think it was pretty clear that there was something going on there. So,
yeah.
That kind of does explain some things, with how that played out. And then I guess in terms of other roasts this weekend, I think Kendrick won over Drake. I'm a fan of both of them. I know I'm a bigger Drake fan than you, but I'm willing to kind of acknowledge that Kendrick is the leader right now.
Yeah. In terms of their roast, Kendrick is definitely ahead of Drake in their beef right now. I don't particularly love either guy. I don't hate either guy, but I feel like when it comes to consensus, I'm lower on both those guys. It's really just them and J. Cole that pretty much carry rap at this point.
good for them,
but that's not great for Drake right now. What's funny, I saw a joke about how Drake May and Kendrick Bourne are not off to a great start in the offseason, like, just because of the names.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get the joke, a few seconds to get the joke, but it was funny when I read it, and it had to do with those two. Like, why are they beefing? Like, oh, Drake and Kendrick, got it.
Yeah, I feel like that's over at this point. I don't know if they're going to continue going back and forth, but I think I'm definitely willing to call that in favor of Kendrick at this point.
So. Yeah, it's pretty fair.
So anyway, there's our sports/pop culture crossover to get things started. Let's get into the actual sports talk here, and let's talk about the NBA playoffs to get things started. The Boston Celtics are, I don't know, what, like an hour, less than an hour from real time of you and I recording, getting set to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second round. And I'm trying to remember, I think Celtics were up 3-1 last time we recorded. They blew out Miami in game 5. So
yeah, I remember talking about both Bruins and Celtics games 1-4.
Yes, that's right.
And then that's when the Celtics won and the Bruins, Bruins, we'll get to later, certainly made an adventure of that out of that series.
Yeah, so Celtics were able to finish off Miami. I mean, potentially the Jimmy Butler era in Miami based on
God, I hope so.
Yeah, press conference.
Yeah, Pat Riley's not happy with him. My first immediate thought is, well, Jimmy Butler's going to want out now. Especially since he doesn't get any help.
Right, like, I think he's going to... So he wants a contract extension. If he can get a contract extension, he's going to stay, but... That is, it's certainly something to monitor, and I get it. Like, I mean, if they tried to get Damian Lillard, the Trailblazers just weren't interested in the
I don't know if they really tried.
Right. Say they didn't try as hard as they could have.
Right. I feel like Damian Lillard was way more interested in Miami than Miami was interested in him, just because they didn't really offer nearly enough compared to what Milwaukee did.
Right. I think that's probably a fair way to put it. But yeah, anyway, I would say definitely good that the Celtics were able to, after losing game 2, just dominate the Heat for 3 straight games. So I'm certainly feeling good going into this Cleveland series. The Cavs struggled with the Magic in 7 games. I know Donovan Mitchell has looked great, but that team clearly has a lot of flaws. So, but they do have Max Strus, and you know, maybe he has
a we're not past the Heat yet. That was one thought I had about facing the Cavs. You know, watching that game 7 in particular. You know, I'll admit, I actually think Cleveland can make it a series versus Celtics. I don't want to say, like, oh, they upset alert or anything, but I don't know. I kind of take Cleveland probably more, again, not upset alert, but I take them more seriously than probably most Celtics fans. I just think that, I don't want to say Donovan Mitchell's in that tier of, like, Jimmy Butler or another guy that we'll talk about on another Western Conference team, but I don't know. I take Donovan Mitchell seriously. He's definitely a great scorer, especially those last two games in Game 6 and Game 7. And then Evan Mobley, not the best offensive player, but I feel like he's really
far
great
from. He's a very good defensive.
Very great. That's putting it nicely. Yeah, not the greatest offensive player, but I feel like he's a really good rim protector. And Max Strus, like you said, even though he's not the greatest, he is part of that Heat culture in a way where I feel like he can give you some fits. Another thing about Cleveland is that when Cleveland played Boston the regular season, pretty much every time they played them, someone was out. Like, I think there were multiple games where Mobley was out. Donovan Mitchell didn't even play the game that they did win on my birthday, which sucked. And then Jared Allen is not. He's out right now. He didn't even play game 7. I'm curious if they get him back or not, because if they do, I think the combination of Mobley, Jared Allen, and not having Porzingis would give the Celtics some problems underneath. And so I'm not writing off Cleveland. Again, I'm going to pick the Celtics, but I actually think it'll be, I'll say, 6-game series.
Interesting.
I know. I don't know. I'm trying to take the opponent seriously. I don't want to make it be, you know, what happened last year with Atlanta, where I was like, this team blows. Like, they're not going to do anything, and they end up being a 6-game series.
So the Miami series, I think I definitely felt like the Celtics were going to sweep, and then they lose game 2 at home. Obviously, though,
I thought that was a 5-game series, just because it's freaking Miami. They always
I get it.
Some reason find a way to win a game.
Right. And I think if the Celtics had lost in Miami, then it would have been like a little different. It's like, all right, yeah, like we'll give them one. Going down 1-1, or, you know, being tied 1-1, feeling like you're losing the series.
Like, oh, shit, here we go again. Yeah.
Right. Right. I think it's going to be a more competitive series than that Miami series. You know, with or without Jared Allen, I do think Cleveland has some talented players, but I also look at a team that their best player scored 50 and the rest of the team scored 46 in a potential, you know, series clinching
game. That's fair. Yeah. All they could do in that fourth quarter, well, I think Donovan Mitchell was the only
scored,
one that
last,
scored
like 18
that fourth
points
quarter.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I don't think that the Cavs are like the way that I look at it is like, yes, the Cavs are an okay team. I think that they're probably going to make some changes this offseason. Potentially it's trading Donovan Mitchell if he asks for out, but I think it's more likely Darius Garland and then kind of figuring out some of the other pieces. But I do think that the Celtics should win this series comfortably in terms of the number of games, if, you know, not winning every single one by 30 points or whatever it was like with the end of that Miami series. But I still would go with the Celtics in five in this one.
It's a combination of a lot of things where Donovan Mitchell is a great scorer. Again, Evan Mobley, great rim protector. They don't have Porzingis. Darius Garland is better than he sucked in game seven, but I'd like to think he's a little bit better than that. They have a good backcourt.
Yeah, I think the issue with Garland is
maybe I just don't fully trust
the
Celtics. Maybe I just don't fully trust the
Celtics. And I think that's fair. And I think it's one of those things where I am finding myself much more optimistic about the Celtics than I've ever been, or at least since like the Big Three era with, you know, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. So
I mean, I love Porzingis, so it hurts that
I
overrate him, but I think his loss is semi big. Maybe not for this round, but
he needs to come back.
He has to come back.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he has to come back at some point, sooner rather than later. I look at the rest of the team and just think, okay, like, yeah, we're talking about some of these guys on Cleveland. The Celtics have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White. Yeah. And, you know, I know Al Horford.
It's somewhere
is not
in
the
five
same,
to six
but
game range. I don't know. If it was Orlando, I would write them off more than Cleveland. Like,
yeah,
Orlando, it's like, just give it to Paolo and just hope that he scores or does something. And then you got Hans and Franz not doing shit in game seven. I know it's not Hans, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mo and Franz. Well,
Franz, I know he was really good in the first half of game six. And then, I mean,
just
game six, second half was
missed
nothing,
everything
then,
in game seven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the Magic could be a really good team in the future. But now, like,
the Magic, I think, If they can add a big time player this offseason, I think that they can boost themselves
along
into
with Paolo
legitimate
and
contention.
Yeah.
Right. With these guys growing. But I mean, the Magic find a way. I say Kevin Durant's probably a pipe dream, but like Paul George, if he could somehow end up in Orlando, I mean, maybe that could be, because at that point, we can talk about the Clippers later, but I think that you're kind of putting him in a situation where he's with young all stars who are growing into superstars.
Well, he's that veteran that people look up to.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, I do think that I was going back and forth on Orlando-Cleveland as the series played out, just because every game was like one of the teams looked terrible and the other team looked better. But it was like, I don't know if either team, I came away like, man, this team is really good. I guess more like, wow, that team is really bad. It's like, oh, that team's really bad now. Is it just based on who's at home? Because the home team won every single game that series. So,
yeah.
But I mean, my mindset going into this playoffs was the Celtics should advance to the NBA Finals with little to no issue, in the sense that, like, yeah, you might have a little bit of a struggle here and there, but I don't think that it's going to be a bunch of 6 and 7 game series. And, you know, my takeaway hasn't necessarily changed. Obviously, this counts stupid by the time people are listening. Yeah. If Celtics blow game one at home, which is totally like
just,
not uncharacteristic of them.
Yeah, part of it is just I don't trust them fully, but at the same time, like you said, this is the most optimistic we've ever been about them since the Big Three era.
Right.
And I don't know. I just try and take the opponent seriously, too. That's part of it as well.
Right. And I think that's fair. And I'll say I will take the opponent seriously by saying I think the Knicks are going to win game one in the Garden in the Eastern Conference Finals after the refs and the NBA send them to the next round.
I mean, what are you talking about? DiVincenzo, that was clearly a foul, right?
That was ridiculous.
That was bogus.
So many different things. I mean, even just the kicked ball is like it hit off his hand. Like, so you can't review a kicked ball for whatever reason. Like, I don't understand replay rules in sports and what's reviewable and what's not. But that's ridiculous to me that you can't check to see what body part the ball touched. So
that DiVincenzo flop was that ruined it.
Yeah, I say there were so many.
Indiana could have won that game, but
easily, yeah. I mean, they were up most of the game, and then everything just kind of came together. So, good news for the Pacers, Reggie Miller is on the broadcast crew for game two, so he'll be in MSG. We'll see.
So, if he can go like this across the floor to Spike Lee.
Right. We'll see if those two legendary. I mean, he had that moment, the 8 points, 9 seconds. Like, he's definitely been a villain in that building before. So that might be what the Pacers need, because
that should be a fun series. I could see that series going seven.
I think it's going to go a long way. I don't think that they're just going to rig it for the Knicks, but it's also kind of like, I mean, you're talking about New York too. Indianapolis. Yeah. I understand, you know, the ghost of David Stern kind of leaning one direction over the other. So
yeah, I'm not picking the Pacers. I'm picking the Knicks, but I do think it could be a more fun series. Although Halliburton, it's like what you said last time, the dude can be amazing and could also be a complete no-show. It's so weird with
him. Yeah, I don't understand it. What was his final stat line? Like 6 points.
Like 6 points. Yeah.
Right, and I mean, the Pacers still easily could have won. It's just, it is crazy to me that Indiana has been as good as they've been, and like they've, even though Halliburton has not been, like they've continued to win games. They've continued to find themselves in the spot where they're in the second round of the playoffs for the first time in a decade. And I think that a lot of it is just comes down to they actually have just a really good team. It's not just Tyrese Halliburton. So I think
six
the
Siakam points.
Trade was huge. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. 6 points, eight assists, 2 rebounds.
Yeah.
So, didn't have any fouls. So I guess
good for him.
Yeah. But I mean, Jalen Brunson is just, you know, he takes over games. Like, he was struggling. I think he had what, 25 in the fourth quarter or something like that. So he
that guy's awesome.
Right. And I say like that. I think like this entire postseason, one of the big themes has been like the youth movement, and that I think there's only six players across
the
playoffs
that were
born
in the 80s.
Oh, right? I would say that are in starting lineups specifically.
There's a stat out there where there's only like, I think 8 players left in the playoffs that were born
in the
80s.
So what's
makes me feel older?
35 plus now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so only 6 starters are 30 plus. In the playoffs.
Does that include Al Horford?
I think it does include Al Horford. I don't know. Is Porzingis? He's not 30 yet, right?
No.
Or no, Drew Holiday. Sorry, it doesn't include Horford. It includes Drew Holiday.
Okay.
Siakam.
Porzingis is 28.
Yeah, KCP. I had it in front of me a couple days ago. I was like, I'll remember this. But yeah, it is pretty interesting, like how many young players are really dominating this postseason. And you know, we've seen, you know, LeBron get sent home, Kevin Durant get sent home, like a ton of other Steph didn't even make it past the first round of the play-in tournament. So it is definitely a big shift in the NBA. And I mean, we can kind of go right into it with the West, where I think we're seeing the biggest shift of all, and that's Anthony Edwards being the reincarnation of Michael Jordan.
Oh man, Corey, I said to you after game one where, like, I definitely take Minnesota seriously, but I'm still going to pick Denver. And then you see Rudy Gobert, he has a kid, and he's ruled out for game two. And it's like, okay, well, this is like a freebie for Denver, right?
That's what I thought.
Their backs are against the wall. Defensive player of the year most likely did not play. Like, you think, all right, this is a perfect rebound spot for Denver to win and get the series back to even. Not only did they not do that, they got their ass kicked and lost by almost 30.
Destroyed. Yeah. 80 points total, like, with no Rudy Gobert. So, I mean, the Minnesota defense is
smothering.
Right.
They smother you. They did that start to finish, too. So I definitely take Minnesota seriously, to the point where not only would I pick them to win the versus Denver now, I don't know in how many games, but I don't know. I think they're a title contender now.
Oh, absolutely. I know. My takeaway right now is, were we focused on the wrong team that we told
about
the Celtics?
Yeah, I thought the Suns were like, all right, well, they're a joke. Like, they're soft.
Yeah.
Like, Bradley Beal can't do anything. Oh, well, maybe actually we have to maybe apologize, like, because they just ran into a buzzsaw in the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and say I think that the Timberwolves are, like, I believed in the Timberwolves coming into this postseason, but it was also like, I mean, yeah, I still think the Nuggets are better, and like, I'm kind of talking myself into Minnesota. Oh yeah, Towns and Gobert, they can, you know, form a tag team tandem to take down Jokic. I did not see this coming at all. I mean, in Denver with
both games.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't have been surprised if, like, all right, like, one, because we saw the first
right.
one. All right, like, yeah, that's great game, especially Naz Reid in that fourth quarter. Oh my god!
Yeah, I know. I see just another big man to add to that mix there. So
yeah, no. So Minnesota is definitely legit, and I wasn't fully bought in even after a sweep, and even after winning that first game versus Denver. I texted you immediately after, mm-hmm. thinking, all right, like, I definitely take Minnesota seriously, but not like. I'm still gonna pick Denver.
Right. I said I wish I called my shot and said Minnesota
in
six.
And
I wasn't like, I don't know if I really believed it.
With that being said, though, I know that we're not supposed to make this like a Celtics podcast, right? But
I mean,
but naturally,
that's okay. Yeah.
As a fan of the team, I look at this series and think to myself, the Celtics better win now. They better win it all now, because even though Minnesota is legit, their best player, Anthony Edwards. Amazing player, but okay, it's his fourth. We're really going to lose to a team that,
right,
when their star player's in his fourth year in the league,
22 years,
like,
old, right?
Just look at the path for the Celtics. No Jimmy Butler, no Giannis and Lillard, no Steph Curry, no LeBron, no Jokic. Like, the list goes on. Like the path is just set up for you so well that even in the finals, possibly. I'm not saying Minnesota is like some pushover, because they clearly have one of the best defenses, and Anthony Edwards is an absolute stud. I mean, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, right. But, I get it. Like, you don't want to overlook him because he's young, but at the same time, it's like, he's, you know, he's someone,
you know,
who
plays with an edge.
Yeah, right.
He's, like, great.
Like, you don't normally see a fourth year player doing this kind of thing in the postseason, especially against, I mean, you're talking about future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players in all time, Kevin Durant, led squad in Phoenix, who just went to the finals, number one seed in the West within the past couple of years. And of course, the defending champion Denver Nuggets now with Nikola Jokic, who's a multiple MVP winner. So, yeah,
well,
I've
just always said that the Celtics, if they don't get out of the East, it's a fail, even
yes,
without Porzingis.
Agreed. Yep.
And then if they were to lose in the finals, okay, if it's Denver and Jokic and Murray, you know, like, they're that next duo, they're that next team that wins multiple championships, and like, they're like the best team of, or one of the best teams of our era, then it's like, all right, like, fine. It's not a fail, but it's like a little disappointing, but again, not a total fail. But, and I don't want to say it's a total fail if they lose to Minnesota, but I'm sick of just giving excuses to Brown and Tatum.
Yeah.
It's like, young. They're too young. They got to have more experience. Like, they've had enough experience now.
They've had more experience than Minnesota.
Seventh and eighth year now.
Yeah, right. And I think that, to me, is probably the biggest tiebreaker. On the one hand, it's like, well, Minnesota, I mean, if they can beat Denver, they can beat the Celtics. But I also get it from the perspective of, I mean, we're going to just let the Timberwolves, who haven't won a real playoff series.
They don't want to play up. Yeah, they haven't won a playoff round in 20 years. So
yeah,
now they're just going to win it all
in the finals. Yeah, right. So I think that it's the same kind of logic that applies to the Thunder, where it's like, okay, this is a young team. They're going to be great for a long time, but also this is their first year. Like, how you can't lose to them of all teams right now. Like, they need to, you know, get that humbling loss first. So
Denver was the one team where I could say to myself, okay, if the Celtics lost to them, like, you understand it.
Maybe
Minnesota, again, I don't want to, I'm definitely buying into Minnesota. Like, in my opinion, if I had to predict right now, because looks like it's not going to be Denver, I would go with Celtics Timberwolves right now.
Yeah,
they haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah, right, 6-0, going back home. I'd say I think that Denver being the defending champs, there's enough pride there that I would not be surprised if they steal one. But I mean, they might even have Jamal Murray. I don't know. Is he actually going to get suspended over that heat pad thing? Like, people are talking about it, but I haven't heard anything.
I've heard a lot that he could be. I think it's crazy that he would be in a playoff game.
I do too, but I also have.
But I've heard a lot of steam that's people saying that he could be for a.
Some people
a game.
Are talking like confidently he's going to be suspended. And I just
imagine if Draymond did that.
I mean, right. Well, I think
it'd be maybe 2-game suspension.
I think it's that is also part of it is like the reputation of a player. Like that's the kind of thing that it's like, okay, yeah, if someone like Draymond did that, then that would be a suspension. But like Jamal Murray doing that, it's I don't know. I guess it's dangerous.
Maybe
but,
a fine or something.
Right. I think at the very least that would happen, but. I don't know. I mean, game three isn't until Friday because, you know, they have a big gap after starting that series as early as they did. So I guess there's a little more time for the NBA to kind of figure out how they want to handle that. But they would certainly be in a world of hurt without him.
Yeah, maybe it's too far to say it's over for Denver. Like, they have no chance. Like, we saw the Celtics lose 2 games at home and make it to game 7.
Right.
And almost win that series. So... like it's not. Should I say it's over? But like you want to have conviction. And
yeah,
if I were to predict,
I get it. Yeah.
If I were to predict right now, like yeah, I probably would say the Timberwolves win, and maybe like not a sweep, but like 6 games now. I don't know. Like they're rolling right now, and Denver, they're falling apart. It's one thing to lose, but then to even do worse the next game,
right?
Where you have more motivation to win. Your backs are against the wall, and they don't have their best rim protector, and you only score 80.
I thought for sure, easy lock. Denver's
like Jamal Murray didn't score a point in the first half in game one, and it's like, all right, well, if their second best player can show up a little bit better on the stat sheet, then you'd expect
should
Denver
be an easy
to,
bounce back, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that just wasn't what happened.
Yeah,
so.
I thought it was a scheduled bounce back, but wow, that's right. Concerning for them.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I would necessarily put a game prediction on it. It is one of those things. It's like
we can't
Minnesota
predict this
stuff.
We can't predict.
Right.
But I still think
Minnesota.
I love this for the NBA. I love it. I think it's great. The NBA needs a little bit more parity.
Because we're used to having super teams
Cavs,
winning
Warriors,
multiple championships
Cavs,
in a row. Right.
Every single year. I hated that those years. Outside of, well... okay, we're going to disagree on this, but like the 2016 finals was pretty epic, but obviously you needed
the
that
big
finals
comeback,
for a good reason. Right. But every other year is a joke, especially when Durant was there. It's like, I don't know. Like I didn't like those years where it was kind of just...
Well, you
just
knew that the Warriors
win.
Were going to beat the Cavs in the NBA finals. Like,
yeah,
that was...
I hated those years, but now it's actually, wow, I legit don't know who's going to... I feel confident, but... I mean, Denver, they were the team where I really felt confident they were going to make it out of the West, but now they might not even make it to the West Finals.
Right. Well,
so I love it. I love it.
I think that's actually been the trend recently, is that the defending champion hasn't made it to the conference finals. Like, I think most of the time they win a first-round series, but they get bounced in the second round. Or in the first round, in the case of the Lakers.
Lakers and... lost to the Suns.
Right.
And then the Suns lost to the Mavericks. In the second round, the following year when they were a one seed.
Right. Well, we're saying the Bucks lost to the Celtics in the second round.
Oh, you're talking about the actual winners.
Just the actual champion. Yeah, because the Raptors lost to the Celtics in the second round in the bubble. And then, so I'm trying to think. Who won? Oh, the Warriors. Last year they lost to
Warriors.
The Lakers in the second
round.
Yeah,
they lost to the Lakers. Yep.
Yep. So, and I mean, it seems like that's where the Nuggets are at now. And it's like the Lakers got swept by the Mavericks in the second round as back-to-back champions. That was kind of like the end of that Kobe Bryant championship era in Los Angeles. So, you know, this is kind of similar in the sense that it's a team going up 2-0 against a back-to-back champion, but obviously a long way to go before they get to that, you know, height that the 2011 Mavericks ultimately reached. So,
probably shouldn't be totally surprised just because Minnesota is that one team where they have the size and they have...
Right. I felt like
they match
matchup.
Up with Denver... better than probably anybody.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that there's anyone else. Say Oklahoma City has some bigs with, you know, Chet and Jalen Williams, but I don't know if those guys compared to Gobert and Towns is really a fair comparison. So you said last week that you were going to root for the Mavericks over the Thunder because of that commercial.
Sure am. And that commercial's only getting worse. I texted you guys. It's ever since the start of March Madness, 1,500 times it's aired on various channels. But like you said, it's probably only been like five different channels it's showing right, on, which right. just it's makes like it even worse.
Yeah, TNT, TBS, probably ESPN and ABC, and like, you know, a few other, CBS obviously during the tournament. But yeah, it just, I can't imagine they're showing that commercial on non-sporting events.
It's,
so.
It's horrible. It's such a bad commercial. And I looked on, I had to look up YouTube just to see the comments, and everyone hates that commercial.
Say, it is very unpopular.
I looked up the, like I mentioned with the Christina Aguilera song, What a Girl Wants. You can see the comment section.
Yeah, people
just
go
filled,
into that.
Filled with like the AT&T commercial. It's like, it's just this random song has nothing to do. And of course, like everyone's like, oh my God, what a pro wants, what a pro needs. Like, oh, even that song's ruined. So yeah, I'm sticking with that. I am. I'm dead serious too. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I will say, Kyrie Irving, he was really good in that series versus
LA. Was, right.
Incredible. I hate the man personally. It drives me insane with his his politics, all the crap that comes of him. But as a player, a terrific player, Hall of Fame basketball player.
Yeah, he's an elite point guard. He's one of the best ball handlers ever.
He probably still is, like, in today's game. Like, he's been one of the best, if not the best, ball handler in the league for many years. Hall of Famer. If he plays to his best, even at this point in his career, he's still an all-star. Like, I don't take away... the only thing I take away from him as a player on the court is that he can't be a number one on a championship team. We saw what that was with Boston, where he clearly was not a good leader and could not be a number one on a championship team. But he could still be a complimentary number two player.
Yeah, one of the best number twos out there. Yeah. So
I... As much as I hate the guy, with all the BS that comes of him, as a player though, like on the court, I don't take much away from him. Like he's been great.
That's fair. And I know last year obviously things did not go well when the Mavericks traded for him. They didn't even make the play-in tournament. But
yeah, I still wasn't buying Dallas.
Just
the way last year played out, and even most of this year.
Yeah, see, they did not have the greatest defense. I know that was certainly a concern there. I know when they paid him that 3-year deal, it's kind of like, all right, you have to, but also there's no way that you're going to enjoy this. Like, there's no way he sees the end of the contract, which certainly could blow up at any time still. But I do think it's impressive that this team was able to beat the Clippers, and they beat them soundly at the end of that series. I mean, that Game 5 blowout, just like, wow.
And Kawhi Leonard definitely... He was a liability when he was out there. So, I mean, it sucked that he was hurt as usual.
Yeah,
so it's not a surprise.
No different. Yeah.
But I felt like if Kawhi was a healthy Kawhi, I would feel like the Clippers could have won that series. But, I mean, he was a liability when he was out there. He clearly not 100%. And then, the Mavericks definitely proved to be better, which I was wrong about.
The Clippers just, they're one of the most embarrassing assemblies of a franchise in ever. I mean, just like year after year with this team, we always convince ourselves. At first it was the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin era. Now you have this new
Paul George,
Kawhi Leonard, Paul
era.
George, add in James Harden. And it's like, it's embarrassing to me how little success this Clippers team has had in the last, 5 years now?
How many Western Conference Finals?
One Western Conference Finals. Just
the
one. Right. And people forget about it. It's like, oh, yeah, that was who the Suns beat. And most of these years, they go out sad like this. And yeah, I mean, credit to the Mavericks for taking them out. But also, it's just, I can't wrap my head around the fact that the Clippers have these, you know, all-star, probably future Hall of Fame players, and they just have nothing to show for it.
Yeah. One guy in Kawhi is hurt. Paul George was awesome in game 4, but the other games is kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
James Harden's a loser. I stand by that.
Yeah, he's great in game 1. Great in game 1, but that was about it.
And then Russell Westbrook is basically just Pat Beverly at this point. Well, I don't want to say Pat Beverly like chucking basketballs at fans. I just mean like as a player.
Subscribe to my podcast.
So lame. I like Pat Beverly too, but that was. I don't want to be part of cancel culture, but that right there, not a great look.
No, that was a really terrible look.
Yeah, I don't know which was worse. Probably the second thing, because maybe the fan said something really bad to him. Maybe
I don't know. I think chucking a basketball at a fan in a crowd is worse.
He didn't mean
to
chuck
at
the fan. He didn't mean to chuck it at that fan, which is really bad.
Yeah, he meant to throw it at someone else, and
he meant to throw it at someone else, but ended up hitting the girl, which is just brutal.
Right.
Well, then being a dick afterwards after the game, like,
which apparently he's been doing that all year long. And,
oh God.
Right. So it's not,
can't think
it's,
that highly of yourself, man. Come
yeah.
On.
He's definitely, it's like that aspect. It's kind of like, okay, he's been doing this to everyone. He's just an asshole. It doesn't matter that it was a female reporter, like the tweet called out. It's like, it doesn't matter who it was. He would always say that. So
I saw a tweet that said, you know, I got pulled over today and the cop asked for my license and registration. Do you subscribe to my podcast? Oh man, so that was just bad luck on Pat Beverly's part. But yeah. Anyway, Russell Westbrook at this point in his career is kind of like a glorified Pat Beverly. With
I'd say Russell Westbrook, he went from being like the most overpaid, overrated player by the end of his Lakers tenure to like, oh wait, look at what Russell Westbrook is doing with the Clippers. This is kind of cool, as he's making no money. But yes, I agree, that is more the style of player he is at this point in his career. Every now and then he might have a nice game where it's like, oh, vintage Russ, but it's so few and far between.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I think that, so I'll say I am still gonna root, I think I'm rooting for the Thunder of the Mavericks. I feel like it's one where I'm almost, I don't even know. I don't know like how much I care about it. Like,
I'm sort of trolling with the commercial thing.
Yeah,
but
I get it. I get being annoyed by both teams at the very least.
I guess I don't really care if at the end of the day. I'll admit, even as bad as Denver has looked the last two games, I still think the winner of that series is the winner of, is the one that wins the West.
Right, I agree. I think that if the Nuggets come back and win 4 out of 5 against Minnesota, like, then yeah, I'm going to take them over Oklahoma City or Dallas with no concerns. So I agree. I think that that's probably the fair way to put it, is like, this series is going to happen, but in the end, you still think that they're going to lose in the conference finals anyway.
I'm still going to root for Minnesota. As crazy look, they've looked their first 6 games.
They're a fun team.
They're fun. They're fun to watch. They really are. And I think the Celtics match up better with, as great as Minnesota has been, I still think they would match up better with them than Denver.
Yes, I agree with that. Ultimately, in the end, even if it's just an experience thing, like, I think at the very least that should be a tiebreaker where Minnesota's Jason Tatum doesn't have anywhere near the playoff experience that the real Jason Tatum has. So.
But does play with way more of an edge and toughness than Tatum does. And I'm talking about Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I know, right. Yeah, that's who I'm also talking about here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, definitely intrigued to see how the rest of these second round series play out. So
I'm going to go with Boston, New York. And then if this was before game one, I would have said Denver and Dallas.
Yeah.
But because it's game two now and we saw what the first two games have looked like, I'm going to go with Minnesota and Dallas.
I think that's fair.
Dallas in a seven-game series. Like, I think OKC-Dallas is a toss-up.
You know what? I think that's actually kind of an interesting way to put it, because if that series does go seven, I could see it being very similar to, like, the Dallas-Phoenix game seven, where maybe don't destroy them that badly, but it's also like, oh, yeah, when it comes down to game seven, Luka's going to have the edge over some of those guys on the Thunder. So
yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Right. That's probably a realistic way to look at it too. So I guess I'll just say Oklahoma City in 6, just to not have the same exact picks, but
oh, okay. would you have picked Minnesota over Denver?
I think I would have said Minnesota, like, but like maybe like slightly facetiously, and been like, you're right, it's probably me Denver, but I don't know. I don't know if I would have really called my shot and said Minnesota there. Because it was one of those things where I'm like, I feel like I'm talking myself into Minnesota just so Denver doesn't win, and not that I actually think they're going to beat Denver.
That's
so.
No, I remember when we talked about it, where who would you give a better shot against Denver, Minnesota, or Phoenix? Like, just thinking about it, like, actually, yeah, Minnesota definitely matches up better with Denver, but that doesn't mean I thought they're actually gonna take a 2-0 lead win both games on the road.
Right, especially as convincing as
convincingly as it was too. Yeah. Convincingly, yeah,
right. So But yeah, anyway, I mean, we'll check back in on the NBA playoffs later. Let's move on. Let's talk hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs, and Bruins and Maple Leafs. You know, let's start with that. Game 7 is going to be the ultimate battle of the chokers, and the Bruins avoided blowing a 3-1 lead, but certainly didn't make it easy. 2-1 in overtime. So I know you're happy with how that all played out there. And
yeah, I was thrilled. even if I still don't love their chances of actually winning a cup, still, I was still thrilled to see them lose to the Maple Leaf, beat the Maple Leafs.
Right.
And even though I kind of hated that, went to a Game 7 overtime again, I'm just thinking, oh, shit, here we go again. It's just going to be just like last year. Because the results are just the same.
Oh, yeah.
Win, loss, win, loss, loss, loss in overtime. It was, it was about to be the exact same results as last year versus Florida. What was that phrase that you called? I forgot what you called it. Between the Bruins and Maple Leafs.
The unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
Yeah, unstoppable force of crapping your pants versus the immovable object of puking on your shoes is the Bruins versus Maple Leafs. And the only thing that gave me hope entering that Game 7 was the history with Toronto. Like, they beat them in 7 in 2013. They beat them in 7 in 2018 and 2019. It's like, and they all ended up in Boston, too. And it's like, this is the only thing I had to rely on entering Game 7, because the way they were playing in Games 5 and 6 was atrocious. They couldn't get anything done offensively. Like, they had one shot on... They had, I think, two shots on goal in the first period in Game 5, only to follow that with, like, one shot on goal in, like, the first, like, 27 minutes of the game in Game 6 to actually do worse offensively. So the way that was playing out, it's like, wow, okay, I don't know if I love their chances. And they still couldn't produce anything offensively for most of that game until Lindholm, of all people, for him to finally show up in a playoff game as a Bruin in Game 7 was something that I was surprised by. Cause,
right, and so quickly after the Nylander score to put
Toronto up. Yeah, one minute after Nylander scores, they tie it up, and then he made an incredible pass on that play to Pastrnak to win that overtime game. And you could say the Toronto Maple Leafs players were sleeping on that play, especially Marner defensively.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, just as a whole team, like, you could point to everyone on the ice and come up with a flaw with how that played out.
Yeah. Even Samsonov he was excellent, especially given the circumstances that he wasn't supposed to play Game 7 after being benched, but then Joseph Wall apparently got hurt on that very last second play, 10th of a second goal left.
Just crazy.
And then he actually has to come in and play Game 7. Given the circumstances, he played great, but he probably should have gone after the puck a little bit better there on that goal. But I blame the players more for sleeping on defense than him, because that was kind of just bang bang play.
I mean, it was a 2-1 game. It's hard to find a ton of fault in the goalie. It's like, oh, the one goal you didn't allow. Let's look at the Toronto team that has 50% of their salary cap tied into four players, and that's all they could do offensively in this series. They scored 3 goals in one game, right? And they didn't top 3 goals in any other game in the series. I'm pretty sure it was the stat.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think 3 in game 2 was the most they scored all series.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's pretty clear that they're going to make some type of change. They can't win this game.
Yeah, you can't. They can't. There's so much money tied up to that one core. And in hockey, it's a hard cap.
Yep.
Tavares is out of his prime. Even though he's still a good player, out of his prime.
He's not an $11 million a year player.
No, he's not.
He has 1 year left on his deal. Marner has 1 year.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, Marner... Look, I know he's in his prime, but I don't know. He was a no-show all series.
Yeah,
he had one goal, and it was a meaningless goal when they were down like 3-0. Matthews. He was hurt for a portion of it. He was sick, and then he was also hurt. And I mean, he's kind of a choker too. But I don't know. I feel like
they're not moving on from him.
They're not moving Matthews. He's 70 goals, and he has been better as a on the defensive side as well, a little bit better, and like, he's clearly the guy that they should not move on from.
I think Nylander you keep around as well, but it's still like he plays 82 games every year and then misses 3 playoff games out of nowhere. So
yeah, Marner is the guy I look at the most out of those guys.
As right. I think he's catching the most heat. Yeah,
that did not produce the most.
Right. Well, so he had in his like, you know, end of season press conference, he made a comment about how they're viewed like gods. And people are giving him a lot of shit just because of how ungodlike his performance was in the playoffs. But I think it also just kind of speaks to Toronto media as a whole and like how we hype up this Maple Leafs team that hasn't won a Stanley Cup, hasn't even been to the Stanley Cup finals since 1967. Like they can't get out of the first round.
There are five teams in the NHL that have not played in the month of June.
Yeah.
And one of them is actually Toronto.
Right. Well, and the other four are all joined.
Are like, the Kraken, the Coyotes, the Blue Jackets. Right.
In the Wild. They've all joined since, what, 96? So it's...
Yeah. They're in a class of their own in terms of how long they've lost for.
Right, right. I mean, this era didn't just start 8 years ago. This era has been going on since 1967. It's been 60 years of futility, you know, this team just being hyped up and, oh, this is their year. And then we just see the same thing every year in the playoffs.
They're the gift that keeps on giving, though. Like,
yeah.
Dallas Cowboys of hockey. It's great.
Again, I think I said it last year. I said it in the past. I think that is a disrespectful take to the Cowboys.
That's
the
true.
Cowboys
that's
are
true.
The Maple Leafs of the NFL. You know, it's only been 30 years for them. Does Sheldon Keefe still have a job? He has to be fired, right?
Yeah. What's amazing about that Game 7 is that both coaches, their jobs were on the line.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's especially...
Because as great as Jim Montgomery has been as a regular season coach, where his winning percentage is... 75%, losing 2 years in a row, losing 2-3-1 series leads in a row would have been fired. I'm not saying it's his fault or that he's the problem.
That's just the reality in the NHL.
Let's say they lost. I mean, all these guys, all the fans, all the media would have said, like, we gotta find a way to trade Pasternak or Lindholm, or we gotta fire Montgomery. And people would have said that, like, he's a problem. Montgomery would not, if let's say they were to lose, he's not the problem, but like a problem with like all the changes that he makes to the lineup and just how he's picked the lineup like these past 2 years in the playoffs. You could certainly question.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. If you're an NHL coach, you're hired to be fired, and if you lose two straight years after being up 3-1 in the first round, that's enough reason for a lot of, you know, ownership or management teams to want to make a change. So
one thing that has gone well, and something that I did not expect to happen, is the goalie and Swayman.
No, oh, I know he's asserted himself as the
man, and not this goalie rotation that we were expecting.
Right, I think a lot of Bruins fans were saying like they were expecting Linus Ullmark to start Game 1 against Florida just because of, you know, how physical that series was with Toronto.
I don't mind the argument that Linus Ullmark could have started Game 1 just to give Swayman a rest after starting all those games. But in my opinion, you should ride the hot goaltender until he shows signs of
that he
not
just can't.
Being,
right.
Can't not being the goaltender. And then another thing about the Bruins is that if they ever needed to make a change, they could do that with confidence, because it's not like their backup is some scrub. He won the Vezina last year,
right?
So they could confidently do that. Like they're one of the few teams that has that advantage. But you keep playing Swayman for as long as you can, because
he made 30 out of 39 saves in Game 1 against Florida. So a lot of people were thinking that the Panthers were gonna have no problem with the Bruins, and obviously Game 1 says otherwise. It seems like you're still not super confident, but
I know that when we talk about the NBA, like, there are definitely some takes that I've backed off of and I've changed my mind on some teams.
Yeah.
Do I have more confidence than Bruins? Yes. It's just slow. It's slow. It's not like, oh, we won Game 1, here we go. We're going all the way. The upset, we're going to pull it off. But so
I think the thing that really surprises me is the Bruins went 4-0 against the Panthers in the regular season.
But yeah, I was surprised by that too.
Right, but the way everyone talks about it makes it seem like it's the opposite and that the Bruins just can't compete with the Panthers at all. And I know like two of the games were October and November, but they still played in late March and early April, and the Bruins won both of those games.
The Bruins do not have nearly as much talent as they did last year. Their team was stacked last year.
Yeah.
Their team was so stacked last year, and they had to get rid of a ton of guys that they couldn't bring back. And so they're not as nearly as talented as last year, but one advantage that they do have from this year compared to last year is that they don't have that same pressure on them, like, oh, we got to win, or else we're going to blow it. And all that pressure of winning all those games, breaking a record, and being the chokers that they are, it just builds within that team. But I think now that Florida is that team that's
right, they have more pressure.
That plays an advantage to the Bruins, and also just the fact that they're riding this momentum a little bit. While Florida, they haven't played in a week, so it doesn't.
True.
I wasn't totally shocked by Florida looking the way they looked, especially defensively. I expect them to be much better defensively and goaltending wise. I mean, Bobrovsky, he certainly gets hot and cold, but I just expect both of those things to be a little bit better, and maybe even their forwards are great. I expect that to be better too. And one thing to mention, Sam Bennett, he is still hurt, and he was a big part of why Florida won last year. Tkachuk was on that line with him, and missing him is actually kind of a sneaky loss for Florida, assuming he's out for more than just a game, because he didn't even play in the last series, I don't think. Or I think he got hurt in the last series. But so that's a sneaky loss for them. And I don't know, if Swayman plays like this,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like if he keeps playing like this, although the Bruins have to score, because there are certainly games where even if Swayman played as well as he did, the Bruins would still
game
lose.
Game seven. Game six, yeah. Right? Both of those series. It's 1-0, 2-1 games.
So. That's really the thing that's giving me the most confidence about the Bruins is that, okay, look at their 2011 run. Even though that team forwards and defensive players wise, that team was better. But the biggest reason why they won was because of Tim Thomas.
Right. It's the hot goalie. Usually makes a difference come playoff time and a lot of past champions. So it would also be, I mean, if Swayman does continue this run and end up winning, the Conn Smythe, right? That's playoff MVP.
Yes. Yeah.
He ends up doing that, like, that's just another blemish on Tuukka Rask's legacy for not being able to finish it off.
I think people are going too far that Tuukka, you know, was trash or that.
Right. I know. It's because
he definitely had some amazing runs. He definitely won some series. It's just that the bad stuff just hovers.
You just remember the losses.
All you remember
more.
Is the bad stuff, which is why you have a hard time remembering the good stuff he did.
Yeah. No,
trust
me.
We, not just you, even me, like, we're not Tuukka guys.
No.
We just weren't. But even I will say, all right, like, Bruins fans are going too far with the Tuukka hate at times, like saying that he was a bum. But at the same time, you just feel more confidence in guys like Tim Thomas that year and Swayman right now. I don't know. I still go with the Panthers. I still think they're going to turn it around, but slowly gaining a little bit more confidence in the Bruins right now, these past couple of games. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think that's fair at this point. It is only one game. So
another thing that the Bruins have done better this year is that I think they're tougher now. They're definitely not more skilled, but I feel like they're tougher. I hate Pat Maroon, like, when he was with the Blues, and I hate that he won those cups with the Lightning, even though he was a stiff, and in my opinion, feel like he wasn't really much to do with those cups. But I will say, the dude does get in people's heads, opponents' heads, and does bring a toughness to his game that I'm actually glad he's on this team.
Yeah, him and Ryan Reeves patrolling the center ice that one game. They're just skating on top of each other. So you need a guy like that.
You do need a guy like that, like a Sean Thornton, like a Pat Maroon. So I'll admit, I'm actually glad that he's on the team.
Okay.
Even if he's not producing, like, on the score sheet.
Right. Yeah. So.
And then Mason Lohrei, I don't know if you know him, but
I saw he scored the go-ahead goal.
The Bruins have just not drafted that well, like, for as long as I can remember.
Is he a rookie?
Like, yeah. And he's, like, 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
And
is he one of those guys who like graduates college and it gets called up for the playoffs?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. I think he was like an.
Was he on the team in the middle of the year?
Yeah, but okay. He only scored like a few goals, but I think he was a Buckeye, if I have that correctly. Yeah, he went to Ohio State. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's in the lineup too, because I remember the first couple of games Grizz looked terrible, and I just wanted to see what it looked like with Lowry, just with the upside. And like I mentioned, the Bruins have just been brutal drafting wise, but he was like the one out of like two prospects in their system that I was actually excited about and wanted to see him on the NHL roster. And he's been awesome. Like not just the goal that he scored, but he's held his ground on the defensive end. He's really good with the puck. Not afraid to possess the puck, which I feel like most Bruins are. And now he's producing offensively, and I'm glad that he's stayed in the lineup and should stay that way. And he's kind of like an X factor on their team right now.
Yeah, I'm reading into him now. So I guess he was called up for the first time in November of this year. So
yeah.
He's been on
I knew it was sometime this off. Year. I just didn't remember which month.
The first person born in the state of Louisiana to play in the NHL.
Wow.
Which is, it's crazy to think that, you know, hockey doesn't have representation from all 50 states. Like, I know it's obviously more popular in the northern than the southern states, but that is still pretty crazy to see. So, anyway, we do have some breaking news related to NHL. San Jose Sharks have won the draft lottery. So
good
they will
them.
Be, yes. And Penguins did not. So they will be picking both first overall and 14th overall. While the Penguins maybe will get a first-round pick if the Hurricanes advance to the Stanley Cup Finals, which right now they're down 1-0 to the Rangers, who look like a really good hockey team. So coming into the playoffs, Carolina was the favorite to win. I just don't understand it.
I don't either.
Especially seeing how the Rangers are playing. So
yeah, I picked the Rangers to win it all. Another reason why I just can't get super-duper excited about the Bruins is that I'm
just knowing that they're coming up next.
Great. If they beat the Panthers, they would have to face the Rangers.
It would be
pretty
cool.
And I don't think they looked good versus them in the regular season either. So
yeah. Well, I mean, the Rangers won the President's Trophy, so I don't know how many teams did look good against them in the regular season. But say it would be really cool if you have a Boston, New York, Eastern Conference
Finals
in
both
NBA
and
NHL.
That would be pretty sweet.
Same arenas too, TD Garden, Madison Square Garden, so that would be.
Wow, there's a legit shot of that happening now. Yeah.
Yeah, there is, right? Especially with Boston going up 1-0 in the Florida series here. So
yeah, I'm not gonna see when it comes to Celtics, I got my green foam finger. Yeah. And like they're going all the way, baby. Let's go. But when it comes to the Bruins, cautious.
Always.
I just can't get overly excited when I just feel the doom expected in the future. But they're not even supposed. But house money, really?
Right. It's like
series?
You don't care at this point. It's like you just wanted to make it out of the first round. So
yeah, that was my expectations of the Bruins is that they beat the Maple Leafs, and then house money at that point. Especially now that Florida did advance,
right?
And likely the Rangers in that next round, too.
Yeah, it is only one game there, but Yeah, I'd say I still think Rangers Hurricanes will be a very good series, but just kind of calling out, I feel like the Rangers should be the slight favorites in that one. So, out west, I'd say the Colorado Dallas. I think that really both of those series. The Colorado Dallas Stars just beat the Golden Knights in a thrilling, hard fought 7-game series. Maybe probably the best series of the first round. I guess maybe you just say Boston Toronto, but I think that just the physicality of that Dallas Vegas series. And now I think it's a question of do the Stars, are they just so beat up and Colorado has the rest advantage after beating Winnipeg in 5, or do they keep this momentum
going? We could see a similar thing with Boston where
Colorado.
Boston, they were coming off a long 7-game series,
right. Yeah,
and then they won game one because Florida had a week off, and
yeah,
we could see that in game one. I would still lean Colorado, but I mean, Dallas did beat them in that bubble series in 7 games. So
right.
It's a rematch of that
Four
series,
years ago.
Same round. Yeah. So I feel like Dallas, guys like Wyatt Johnson, you know, he's been really good offensively for them. He's been their best player. Ottinger is a great goaltender.
Yeah, they're a really young team.
Yeah.
So even if they can't break through this year, it does feel like they're constantly.
They do have a good core.
So
they do have a good core. I mean, Sagan's kind of up there now. In his series,
kind of
he's not the same player he was in his prime, but Robertson's a really good goal scorer.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm still going with Colorado in that series, but we could see a similar result in game one is what I'm saying.
See, the Avs have the MVP of the league in Nathan MacKinnon. So
yeah,
that's always a nice little tiebreaker in a series like this, which I'm shocked that say, I just completely forgot that they lost game one, like 7-5 the way they did to Winnipeg. And then they were able to,
I remember that game thinking, oh, is Colorado like actually going to lose in the first round?
Yeah,
I had to say that to myself. Where is the goaltending actually going to hurt them this time?
Yep. Right, but, and they won four straight. I mean, they were all blowouts too. So
yeah, so it was just a blip in the radar.
Right, right. And say the goaltending really was not an issue at all in the remainder of those games. So, and then I'd say I like my Edmonton Oilers. I'm sure it's going to fall apart at some point.
My Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. Say
no. I definitely take them over Vancouver. Not even thinking twice about that. Offensively, I mean that they just own the Kings in that series.
Right.
And Stuart Skinner is a little bit better than past years. So if they just get kind of like when Colorado won it all. If their goaltending is just good enough, they have a shot. Because goaltending was not... When they faced Tampa, like Vasilevsky versus Darcy Kemper, like clearly Tampa had an advantage in that series. But if the goalie plays well enough for that team, like for Edmonton, I mean, then I can't count them out. It's definitely going too far to say that they're the Western Conference Maple Leafs. Of course that's going too far. Like they can make it out of the first round. They've made it to a West Finals.
Right.
But so
they have
given
that they have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the team.
Yeah.
On top of other guys who are, you know, worth mentioning. But
yeah,
I mean I say I like I think that I'm rooting for Edmonton in the
no,
West.
No, I don't
point,
no
so.
People should be. Because the NHL, you know, they're a niche sport, and you know what gets people to watch? Stars.
Right.
Like, and I don't mean like literally the stars.
Yeah,
like
say Dallas Stars.
I mean like actual star players.
Say some of the Stars fans get people to watch, especially when they're seated right behind the coach and constantly shown on TV. But I also heard about the Glassbanger. Are you familiar with this guy? The Stars fan? Apparently, say this according to Paul Bissonnette, all he does is just bring literal prostitutes to games. He'll tweet, "Oh yeah, I paid like $9,000 for this girl to come watch the game with me." He'll just bang on the glass and be super obnoxious, and everyone hates him. And Paul Bissonnette gets in Twitter fights with him all the time. But I mean, they keep winning, or at least they got out of this first round. So I don't know about this guy. I might not know what I'm talking about here, but he sounds like a character. So
I never knew about that.
Yeah, I say I don't watch a whole lot of Western Conference playoff hockey because the game started at like 10:30 Eastern time. Yeah, right. And I'm just like, I don't really care at this point to stay up. I find out the box score like 3 days later of half of these games.
I stayed up to watch Vegas Dallas game seven.
Yeah, instead of the Brady roast.
So what I would do is I would watch the Brady roast
on your phone during
on
commercial
my phone
breaks
while watching the game on the TV.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I going to watch both of these at the same time? That's what I do.
That's probably the best way to do it. Say, that's probably like the right way to do it as a sports fan, but yeah. So
part of me kind of wishes I watched the roast instead, because I don't know, the 2-1, the game winning goal was just a random deflection, and then just nobody scored after that.
Yeah, I think that...
But it's a game seven.
Right, it's game seven. Like, they're always fun and competitive. If it's a one-goal game, it's going to come down to the end, and you're going to enjoy it. But I also don't feel like I need to watch the entirety of a game seven of a game that I don't really care about.
Don't need to watch the entirety of a roast when some of the people on there aren't even good.
Yeah, true. Ben Affleck. So... So anyway, I think that's enough for NHL playoffs now. We'll see what the Bruins and some of those other teams do moving forward. Just real quickly, I think one of the other big sporting events that happened this weekend, the Kentucky Derby. I don't know about you, but it sneaks up on me every year. I just completely forget it's a thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, Derby's on Saturday, because you have all these other things going on in the sports world, and I like it. I watch it, but I'm not the biggest horse racing enthusiast by any stretch of the imagination.
No. So I've never bet on horse racing ever in my life.
Really? I'm surprised.
Until
this year.
Until the Kentucky Derby this past one just now. Did I bet Mystic Dan? No. I just want to get that out of the way. Corey, remember when we did top five sitcoms?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. We've
of the 2000s, right?
Yeah, of the two, right, like specific years.
Uh-huh.
One of mine was Everybody Loves Raymond, and I mentioned how one of my favorite episodes is the time when Ray, Robert, and their dad Frank went to the track.
Yeah.
And they're looking at the horse names. And then Frank's like, oh, this one right here, this one's the winner. Marie's Mouth. Marie was the hit Frank's wife, like the Ray and Robert's mom. And it's like, this is a sign from God. Like, we were meant to be here today. And they won all this money betting on that horse. I was looking at the horses' names. One of the horses' name was Honor Marie. I had to bet that horse.
Yeah.
Especially since most of the names are like, whatever. And Honor Marie was like, I think the Honor Marie finished like seventh or eighth, so it wasn't really contending.
Okay.
That's my story of how I lost a couple bucks on horse racing, my very first race I've ever bet on.
Yeah, I was in Las Vegas for the Kentucky Derby in 2019, and I bet $100 on it. Did not win anything. I should have won something, but Maximum Security got disqualified, and all of us, one person didn't, or like, he actually bet on the winner. All of us lost any potential money on Maximum Security. We're kind of pissed, and he's like, oh, what do I do now? Like, what hockey game should I bet on tonight? So, this one, North Carolina, it's not even legal to do horse betting, even though sports betting. Yeah, so I was kind of disappointed by that. I entered like a free play contest, did not win. Fierceness, I mean, that was the favorite to win. Lame name, and just completely died on the track.
Would it finish like last?
I don't know where it finished, but
it finished like at the bottom.
Just a very, very poor showing by Fierceness. But I did have like within my like trifecta the other two horses, Forever Young and whatever horse came in second. Sierra Leone, yeah, right. So I had those two, but I did not have Mystic Dan.
That was a wild finish.
That was, first photo finish is 1996.
And it was between three horses, not two.
Right.
It was like Cars.
That was awesome.
It was like Cars, right. between Chick Hicks, Lightning, and the King.
Yes. Did you see the NASCAR race on Sunday? That also had a finish.
So I didn't watch
NASCAR.
I watched NASCAR during the pandemic. I was so desperate to watch any sort of entertainment sports wise that I was willing to watch UFC. I was willing to watch NASCAR and a couple other things. And so
it's Korean baseball. Like,
yeah. So I would watch random sports.
Yeah.
That time. But do I watch NASCAR now? No. But I did see the photo.
Right. That also had another photo finish. And Chris Buescher, who was the car that lost to Kyle Larson, said he should have pulled a Lightning McQueen and stuck his tongue out.
That's what I said about that horse that finished third. Was it Forever Young? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Forever Young. Yeah.
just stick your tongue out. I love that scene.
Yeah. So
I love that quote too.
Right. And I say shout out to all the guys named Dan, because they either bet on Mystic Dan because like, oh, we have the same name and they won a lot of money, or they're kicking themselves like, how did I not bet on the horse with the same name as me? So I've heard both sides of that, and I think that it's I don't know. I mean, I don't know why anyone would name a horse Corey. Maybe a Brian could sneak in there, but like you would have to bet on your name, right? Like if you see the horse,
that too.
With
yeah,
your name.
I bet on a name because of a TV show.
Yeah, right.
Like so, if I see my name in a race, I'm certainly gonna bet on my name. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I say the most exciting 2 minutes in sports or whatever they call it, and then you can move on. Yeah. We have a say the
how do they have 4 hours of pregame? I know they have other races, but how do you talk
right,
about...
Right, which I think is really what it is they're like all the other races, they get people on the track. I enjoy seeing the videos of people just being hammered and stupid in the infield more than I care about any of the coverage.
Would you want to go to a Kentucky Derby?
I think so, but I will never remember it. I'll never make plans to go because I like always forget that the Kentucky Derby is happening because you have the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and NFL draft, and all these other things. I'll just never remember it's happening.
I would love to go once. I don't want to go like every
right.
year or anything.
No,
like that.
I would love to go just once. Right. Experience one of the Triple Crown races. I think Kentucky Derby is the big one for sure. Preakness and Belmont, I could be persuaded if those make more sense.
Right.
For whatever reason.
But Kentucky Derby, I would love to go once. But you know another thing? I want to go once and feel wined and dined. Or like I'm at some legit
right,
party.
You're like,
I got legit clothes on. Yeah. I'm not some hillbilly in the balcony that can't see anything. I don't want to do that. I
want right. You want you want to feel like, oh yeah, I could own one of these horses.
Yeah, I want to feel like I can actually talk with these people that are a total society class above me. even though I couldn't hold a 2 minute conversation with any of them.
Right. So what PEDs did you inject in this horse, Bob Baffert?
Yeah.
And then that's the conversation.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of going. I went to Carolina Cup when I was a freshman in college and I was 18 years old and I was just felt kind of like out of place. It was like just with a bunch of people who are really enjoying themselves and I'm like, I'm just here. Like I ended up actually watching a few horse races while I was there. But I think it would be a cool experience. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but I do think it would be cool if it's somehow, you know, if someone else invited me months in advance, like, hey, Corey, come to the Kentucky Derby this year. I'd be like, all right, let me look into this because it's not going to be a last minute thing for sure because I'm not just going to show up on a whim and I'm not going to know what's happening until 4 days before the race. So that's just how it always goes with me. So.
I think it'd be a really cool experience, but again,
mm-hmm.
Once.
Right. One time and you got to actually like...
Because I don't expect to win the lottery and have all this money and enough money to go every single year. And
yeah.
And you'd want to go with a big group of people.
Yeah, right.
That
I
you
mean,
can associate with and talk with. Yeah.
Right. And I think in like that same manner, like you got to make sure everyone's on the same page. It's like, are
that
we going to be the people who are throwing up mint juleps at 3 p.m. or are we going to be the ones who are actually watching these races and, you know,
are we going to be the ones that's just sitting there not caring awkwardly?
Right. I guess that's probably more likely in the end.
And you've got to bet on the races too. You got
to yeah,
have
right.
Fun.
You have
yeah.
to right. He's not going to
thrill
dress up. Be like, I'm going to put $10 on the favorite to win, and like that's it. Like you know, you got to be able to spend some pretty money on the ponies.
Yeah.
I guess speaking of spending money and racing, did you see the F1 Miami food prices?
No.
It's insane. I will F1 is a sport that I'm never going to get into for sure. But so they had it in Miami this weekend. I think they were like the luxury suites, but it was like $280 for a lobster roll, $160 for prawns, and
oh my
like
God.
Two empanadas for like $190. It's just insane just looking at those. And it's like, all right, that you want to talk about having different kind of money in a class of people you'll never associate with. That's I'm going to spend $200 on a little pastry. that's that kind of
how much
money.
Are the sides or peanuts or whatever?
I'm saying
this rhetorically.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, how much are those?
I don't think anyone in those, if that's the menu, you're not getting
how much
peanuts.
Is a water bottle?
Yeah. Say, it's probably like a $75 bottle of Fiji water at
that
rate.
Too.
Yeah. So,
see, that's something I don't even know if I want to do once.
I wouldn't. I have no
like
interest.
Kentucky Derby, I would love to do once.
Right. I think that would be fun. I like the idea of going to a NASCAR race. once.
Tailgating.
Yeah, right. Tailgating during the event, not even just before, but like during the event. I think it'd be cool just being out there like with the loud cars and stuff. F1, just no appeal to me. I'm never going to get into that. See, I feel like most people don't even really like F1, the racing. They just like the drama that's associated with it for whatever reason.
Oh,
like the Netflix Drive to Survive. Yeah, it's, I know very little because I do follow enough people on Twitter who seem to like F1, but I scroll past
it. I follow
a
few people that really love F1 too. Yeah, on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I say I know Lando Norris won this week. My understanding is Max Verstappen wins every single race.
I was going to say, like, I don't know like any of them. Like Max Verstappen and is Lewis Hamilton?
Lewis Hamilton, yeah, right. There's like a handful of names.
There's like the two guys. Danica Patrick from like 20 years ago.
Right. She was IndyCar though, right?
Not
F1. Yeah.
Helio Castroneves. Do I have
Sounds
that right?
Yeah. Mario Andretti is another one. I don't even know what sport we're saying. Jeff
I can't
Gordon.
Believe I just named like three drivers that I actually semi like remember or know.
Yeah. Kyle Busch. Say so, yeah, I just, I don't really want to go down name drivers here. Horse racing though. We could go through some of our favorite horses from the Derby over the year. Mind That Bird. I always remember that one. I think it was the first Derby I actually paid attention to, and that ended up winning in a big upset. I don't know. Any football things you want to talk about?
We're in May. I love football. We can talk about it the other months of the year. We don't have to talk about football all the
every
time.
Single time.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's the thing that kind of drives us the most.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's the easiest sport to talk about nationally. So
it's not even close. But I don't have any football thoughts right now. Like the draft's over, and it's just waiting for training camp to start.
So the Steelers declined Najee Harris's fifth-year option. I was surprised. I don't know why they did that. I don't know what's going to happen from here, but. I guess.
I mean, Najee's a little bit better last year compared to the year before because he had that foot injury.
Right. Well, in the offensive line, you retooled it after having like play behind like the worst offensive line in the league. It's like, all right, now we're gonna let you go. So just kind of sucks. But
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jaylen Warren. Still, the fact that Najee's better, but the fact that he's almost as good, if not better, is still a little concerning.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I think it's the whole change of pace concept with running backs. But yeah, that's all I could say about football. So I'm good ending it on that. We'll wait till the schedule gets released, and then we'll have a lot of breakdown.
That'll actually be fun.
Yeah, I think that's probably next week at this point.
Even though you know which teams you're facing, just
right,
to see
finding
what
out
it looks
what
like.
Day, yeah, what week, what the schedule, what games are prime time. Yeah. You know, so. Anyway, I think that's all I have. So
same.
All right, cool. Well, we'll be back soon to talk more playoffs. We'll see Celtics, Bruins, where they're standing, and then everyone else. So for my co-host Brian Wells, I'm Cordovati. Thanks everyone.